rule them sane is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special. We're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Tuesday, is the 11th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of August, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
On that sad and grievous day of Ashura, we are proud to be called the Shia. On that sad and grievous day of Ashura, we are proud to be called the Shia. When our eyes and our hearts will shed those tears for Hussein, the master of the martyrs.
Reconciliation. A key principle of Imam al-Hussein's mission, mere indulgence in rituals, however fervently executed, cannot answer the call of Hal min nasirin yansurni if we ignore the call of our conscience towards social justice. According to the Holy Quran, when the moral fabric of a society is being torn, then such a community passes through the path of corruption and will be in desperate need of reform. It is in that spirit that one must understand the spirit of Azza-e-Hussein. In his own words, Imam Hussein declared his mission of reformation. I am not taking up arms in order to make merry or be delighted over what I possess. I am not making mischief nor exercising oppression, but I am fighting to defend the sole goal of seeking reform of the Ummah of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him. I want to enjoin good and forbid evil and guide the affairs of the people as my grandfather and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, were doing. The key point made is this announcement was that Imam Hussein left Medina seeking reformation to the Ummah of his grandfather.
Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Now there are conditions for us that before we enjoin the good that we should be aware of. One of those conditions is that we should have knowledge. You should make sure that this thing that you're going to tell somebody is halal or haram, that you're certain about it. Maybe according to a jurist, the way that, for example, some parts of discrepancies, that some of the jurists' minor discrepancies they have, some of them, the jurist might allow, for example, a condition in salat, in prayer, or another invalidator in fast is not invalid for them. You have to make sure, according to their jurist, according to the scholar they follow, and the knowledge that you have, is certain that this is haram for them before you enjoin the good. Two, we should make sure that we are looking at a good method. Because many people, they think that, okay, now that I'm going to enjoy the good, it's sufficient for me just to tell them, hey, this is haram, or hey, this is halal, or this is wajib. But that is not sufficient. Amr ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar means you're taking them with kindness, with affection. You're taking them and helping them out, just like you'd help somebody else out. You won't do it with a, you know, angrily. You won't do it with a in a bad mood. You would do it in a very pleasant way. And you have to think of the best methodology sometimes to help people out. Maybe sometimes indirectly. You talk about something, you know, you don't have to tell them directly. You say indirectly, you know, this was a sin. I read this in this book. And the person says, oh, wow, I didn't know. I didn't know this certain action was haram. So, or I didn't really know that it was this big of a sin for me. So the method that we choose is very important. Sometimes we can push people away more from Islam. If you don't choose the appropriate methodology, and always start with the most important things, like helping them with salat, helping them with fasting, helping them with those important tenets and pillars of Islam that are the most important. Third of all, some people might have a lot of sins, or they might be indulged in sin, and you think that, oh, it's not going to have any effect. Maybe you could take away one action, help take away one action that they do, one bad habit that they have. You don't necessarily have to expect to completely change, or maybe from, say, 100 things, 10 of them, you could help them out with. And fourth of all is when and where to say. Sometimes in front of everybody, you don't have to embarrass somebody. You can take them privately and talk to them and say, brother or sister, I'm very concerned for you. I'm worried about you. As you know, I'm doing this out of love for you. Or some of the family members come together, or some of the friends, and say, you know, what's going on? Let's see what's happening. And you talk with them in a very good way, in the appropriate place, an appropriate time, and of course, in the appropriate manner. So that we can, inshallah, be of those that fulfill this important obligation, which is Amr Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar. And we link ourselves to the movement of Imam Hussein, which is a movement of enjoining the good. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
The movement of Imam Hussein is a reforming movement based on the Islamic principles of justice and equity. Imam Hussein's uprising was aimed at campaign against the corruption of the Umayyad government and the social injustices of that time, when moral principles which were set up by the Holy Prophet of Islam were on the verge of destruction, the human values were forgotten, and treachery and injustice became common. Today there are many parallels, and as we commemorate yet another Muharram, we must not shirk our responsibilities to campaign against injustice, oppression, poverty, corruption, and social disorders. This is why today our Azadari and our mourning must send a message to the world at large in the name of Imam al-Hussein and 72 of his dear ones, who sacrificed their lives under the scorching sun of that parched land of Karbala, that we stand for the truth and social justice for all of humanity.
Assalamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك. السلام على الحسين. وعلى علي بن الحسين. وعلى أولاد الحسين. وعلى أصحاب الحسين. الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
The aftermath of Karbala, the tents were robbed. This is the title of this part on today's special from IRIB English Radio. After the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, his tents and that of his womenfolk and companions were ransacked. All belongings were taken as well as his injured horses. Shams saw that Ali ibn Hussein, who was sick at that time, was also in one of the tents. Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon him, and all the women were taken into custody. Amongst those women who survived were Rubab, the wife of Imam Hussein, as well as Zainab ibn Hussein, peace be upon them. Eventually, the severed head of Imam al-Hussein was presented to the governor, who then proceeded to tap the blessed teeth of Imam al-Hussein with a stick. The next day, the captives were sent to Yazid. When the captured finally arrived in Syria, they were taken to the palace of Yazid. Imam Hussein's head, which was still on a spear, and all the other heads which were on the platters were brought before Yazid. When the daughters of Imam Hussein saw their father's head, they could not hold back and screamed out and cried. Sayyida Zainab alayha salam made an inspiring and bold speech against Yazid, to which he had little response. After a few days in Syria, the captured were taken back to Medina.
As we know that after Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed, the tragedies continued to mount upon the family of the Prophet. As the writers of the Maqtal, those who narrate the tragedy of Karbala, as they mention in their books, that one of the first things that their enemies in the camp of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and the army of Umar ibn As'ad Mal'un, one of the first things that they began to do was go and to loot the body of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. It was not enough that they had killed him. It was not enough that there was hundreds and hundreds of wounds on his body. It wasn't enough that his body had been showered with arrows, but we're told in the books of Maqtal that people would come and try to steal whatever belongings Abu Abdullah had. Somebody came and stole the turban off of his head. Somebody came and stole the sandals off of his feet. Somebody came and stole the shirt off of the back of Abu Abdullah. Eventually, as people were coming one after the other, one man comes to the body of Abu Abdullah. As his body is laying barren on the plains of Karbala, covered in blood, and he looks at the hand of Imam Hussein and he sees that Imam has a ring on his finger, and he wants the ring off of the finger, so he begins to pull at the ring. The more he pulls, the more he finds he can't get the ring off of the hand of Abu Abdullah. This is a ring that had been given to him from his grandfather, from his father, had been carried on through the generations. Brothers and sisters, the writers of Maqtal mentioned that as this man tried to pull the ring, he couldn't get it out, so he reached into his pocket. He reaches into his back and he takes out a knife. He begins to slice off the finger of Abu Abdullah to get to that ring. Eventually, he cuts off the finger of Abu Abdullah and takes the ring off of his hand. Brothers and sisters, this is not the only tragedy. As we know that Umar ibn As'ad had given the order for all of the heads of the shuhada to be carried, to be cut off of their bodies and to be taken towards Kufa, that they should meet the heads in the city of Kufa and then to take those to Sham, to the palace of the cursed Yazid. As they go to try to find all the bodies of the shuhada, they begin to take the heads one after the other. Eventually they get to Abu Abdullah and they remove his head from his body. The cursed Khuli is taken charge of the head of Abu Abdullah. Once they've done desecrating the body of Abu Abdullah, the enemy, and this is still before the time of Maghrib, before Sham-e-Ghariba approaches, they give the order to the enemy troops to go towards the tents. They tell them to go towards the Khaymagah and to light fire to all of the tents. As they go and light fire to the tents, the women and the children run from one tent to the other. As they light that tent on fire, they run towards another tent. Eventually, one tent is left remaining. That is where Sayyidah Sajjad is. The enemy forces, they go into the tents. They loot whatever belongings the Ahlul Bayt have. They even loot the prayer mat that Imam Sajjad was sleeping upon. Eventually, as all the tents are on fire, the women and children are with the Imam of the time, Imam Sajjad, and they're in the company of Imam Sajjad. Brothers and sisters, this is where the Sham-e-Ghariba begins to approach, as nightfall begins to approach on the family of the Prophet.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world on the month of Muharram when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.